How's everybody doing? So I did want to introduce this because this is an amazing opportunity, I think, to showcase how Microsoft technology can be the basis of and the foundation platform for a major leader in this space, in the media entertainment space, a vendor that has really proven themselves to be second to none as far as leadership and innovation in the broadcasting space, in the media production and post-production space. So Microsoft was very excited to have been chosen and selected by Avid. And it was announced at their Avid Connect show at the NAB Las Vegas conference last April. And Avid selected Microsoft primarily because not only were we trying to be a good cloud vendor, and vendor, you know, being the optimum word there, but really we wanted to be a partner and work together with Avid to really help Avid and Avid's customers help to innovate. And this morning upstairs, if you were there, I talked a lot about how the Azure platform itself, which includes, of course, all the things we're talking about here in terms of HPC and cloud compute and cloud storage, but also I spoke a lot about our media services platform and our new video AI platforms. In bringing this technology to a partner like Avid, who can really run with it and optimize, but accelerate the innovation that they're working with, this was for us a really amazing moment. I was able to be on stage with Scott Guthrie after the announcement was made, and really, really humbly proud of the selection by Avid to work together with them. So I want to go ahead and invite Avid to join us up here and talk a little bit about what they're working as, what their workflows in the cloud are, and the progression and the partnership between Avid and Microsoft continues to be developed out, and Craig can talk a lot about that. But Craig, I want to personally, from all of us at Microsoft, thank you again, and we are very excited to be working with your team.
Yeah, great, thank you. Thanks very much. I'm on the other mic. Okay, great. So we're just gonna, real quick, switch over. Tony's joining me. We're gonna give you guys a little demo at the end of my quick keynote here. So, as Martin said, actually, before we even get plugged in, you know, we went through a very exhaustive process. Actually, it kind of initiated around IBC last year. We had showed a number of our products and solutions running in the Azure stack, really as a kind of proof of concept to a number of our large clients. And at that time, we were really trying to get a sense of their level of interest, you know, really what they saw as the, you know, the new operating models, OPEX and CAPEX models, and just to really to start to assess, you know, how we could work together with Microsoft. And we actually then, so we actually got some incredible feedback, and it was very much a technology preview at that stage. But what we then decided to do was actually work with our internal product teams, our engineering teams, and we went out to tender. So we actually tendered our kind of cloud business out to Google, Amazon, IBM, and Microsoft. So we went through a kind of very thorough evaluation, and I'm delighted to say, although, you know, Microsoft, to be honest with you, were kind of in a very strong position right at the get-go, which was great. But as we kind of worked through all of the different aspects of the commercial model, the go-to-market model, I'll talk a bit more about this in a second, it became very obvious that actually in the field and with our customers, there was a lot of synergy, and certainly the kind of cultural alignment was very, very strong. So we're delighted at the Connect we were able to announce it. So let me give you a bit more kind of background of kind of what we're doing and why we're doing things. Thanks, Tony. So many of you, I'm sure, have seen us talk about Avid Everywhere and our platform, the Media Central platform. We've really been looking at a kind of comprehensive strategy over the last probably 5 years as we move from a set of tools, applications, sort of client-server model into more of a kind of platform model. And many of our customers have enjoyed collaborative workflows in the kind of news environment for a long time. But actually what we're seeing now is people want to bring that to a lot wider kind of content creation lifecycle. So whether it's, you know, features production, audio post-production, you know, the wider kind of capabilities people are looking for. And if you just look at some of these sort of common stats, I think we all understand sort of the first three, right? So the increasing rate of content creation, this sort of exponential growth of distribution, personalized TVs, OTT, all of this kind of growth. The consumption, you know, as I say, that's growing really dramatically. But what's not growing dramatically are our budgets internally, right? So everyone's trying to work out how to be very, very efficient, but and leverage these new opportunities that might be being presented, but do that in an economically sustainable way. So if we go to the next one. So that's kind of led to a set of common needs. I'm not sure this is... No, a pocket, it's in that pocket. But you guys can hear me okay, can't you? Yeah, is that all right? So, you know, what that, you know, those drivers, if you like, sort of end up establishing a set of common needs. And, you know, as we've looked at these needs across all our different customer groups, it sort of informs our product strategy, which is, if you look at the next one, we've really sort of transitioned to what we call the Media Central platform. And you may hear us talk about our sort of vision, Avid Everywhere, which is very much about distributed tools and collaboration. So we were moving, first of all, you know, if we kind of rewind, we were moving everything to a platform approach. And then as we started to look at that environment from a cloud perspective and these new sort of deployment models, that's really what led us to start really evaluating how would we do this with a cloud partner. So, and obviously I'll segue back again in a sec to talk about what we're doing with Microsoft. But what I decided to do today was talk a little bit about the sort of some of the capabilities that the cloud brings to a service provider model, right? And we see some very interesting trends. We've heard a lot today about machine learning and artificial intelligence. So I just want to put some of that in context as well. So keep the platform in your mind, and we'll come back to that in a sec. So from a services perspective, you know, there are a number of technology trends, and you'll get to the next one, that are really very considerable, or sort of are considerably changing a number of kind of patterns in the way our clients manage and deploy services. And these kind of technology trends are enabling, go to the next one, kind of a whole set of new service models, whether it's hybrid, whether it's sort of new distribution models, and this idea of a kind of a distributed supply chain. So we can see more and more clearly now that clients want to remove a lot of the friction between their different systems and actually create a much more fluid, connected supply chain. And the cloud, as we build an ecosystem of partners around the Azure cloud, obviously sort of making, sort of driving that agenda and moving assets and really sort of pointers between all these tools creates a lot of efficiency, right? But the consequences for service providers is that, one, it's going to become easier for people to move projects between service providers, but also that we can see that we need to sort of build very strong partnerships, both with cloud providers, but also with the service providers, right? So that's a big trend that we can see continuing to go forward. Yep, next one. So this one, what I wanted to talk about here is, you know, we've spoken about today the AI, kind of what that means for our customers. I think, you know, our view is emerging that we can see now that AI and both the machine learning and the kind of video analysis type technologies are going to have a really surprising kind of exponential impact on our businesses today. We've seen lots of kind of incremental change as we move from client server to kind of data center and virtualization. But now I think we're going to start to see, especially in these, what I would call like a media factory. So we're working with some of the very largest organizations in the world, where they have literally thousands of users, hundreds of locations, driving efficiencies across that at scale suddenly starts to make a lot of sense. Yeah, let's go to the next one. And we've got examples, and we've seen many actually pretty advanced ones here today, right? So whether it's content discovery with like TiVo and Cortana, and you've got these kind of speak to your TV and, you know, how that data is harnessed. Social media analysis. So our partners here, X News, are doing some fascinating work in the newsroom to be able to kind of bring stories together, prioritize stories, and they're doing some sort of machine learning in behind the scenes there. But also things like Chartbeat. So if you go into any newsroom today, they are using these tools to analyze their websites, their competition's websites, to really look at performance of various stories as they make their editorial decisions. And then lastly, probably what's been the feature here is all around the indexing. We have a product called Illuminate, which does phonetic searching, but obviously the Azure Media Services as well, adding and enhancing, kind of unlocking these assets. Great, next one. So I wanted to put this up because I think a lot of the time we talk about sort of certainly information management in these larger systems that we're working with, where we talk about dashboards and monitoring and reports, which have been, we use them today, our asset management systems. We do data warehouses with Microsoft SQL Server for this kind of large-scale reporting. But I think what we're going to start to see is people want to start to understand and predict, as I scale my systems, what are the kind of likely scenarios that could impact my operation. And in fact, then we really want to have some insights. So not just predictions, but insights is like, what should I be doing to avoid that? And I think this is something that we're seeing other industries, certainly kind of manufacturing and other sort of supply chain industries who are ahead of us in some cases. I think we're seeing some patterns that are very common there. Great. All right, so now we've kind of set a bit of context. Let me just talk about the R sort of principles as we were going to the cloud. Let me just build this one out, Tony. So I think what we learned when we were talking to our clients, and we knew some of this even before IBC last year, It's really, clients are looking for lots of flexibility, and there's, if you look across the value chain, not everybody's got, certainly not everyone's got the sort of public service broadcaster funding models, right? So people don't want to capitalize things in the same way as they used to. People really want to get the capital off their balance sheet. They want to go to OPEX models. So it's really about being able to be much more agile with your business model, try new things, not just sort of driving to the lowest cost. We also see, and you can see, I think cognitive services are one of the areas where it's about new workflows. It's not just about improving what doing things in the same way. It's really about trying to find new opportunities. A platform approach for us, our architecture really helps us support this kind of model. And again, if you've been tracking Avid for a number of years, we've been doing a lot of work on our technology to make ourselves much more a kind of layered open architecture. It makes it much easier to move to this kind of deployment pattern. Hybrid, a lot of our customers have got very, very significant on-prem solutions, and actually another big element in our evaluation when we were talking to Microsoft is the Azure Stack technology, which allows you to run on-prem as well as public cloud Azure. So for many of our customers, that's actually of great interest because they want to basically simplify all of their sort of resource management under the Azure stack. And then as I've already mentioned, yes, let's go to the next one. Partnerships are going to be absolutely crucial. Right, so three quick scenarios. So let's just start with the first one. So, our customers span a wide spectrum. So everything from individual artists, we've got a number of products now that you can download actually for free. So we've got a Media Composer and a Pro Tools tool set for people to use to start learning with our applications. And then they go from a trial to buy, and then they're now using those in an individual operative model. So they're everything from that level, the sort of creative team, more like a post-production house. If we go to the next one, thanks, Tony. So this would be more like, the typical post house. Maybe they've got 10, 15 editors, some shared storage. They're collaborating. Clients are coming in and out. And very often, they're actually feeding a media enterprise, like a broadcaster, where they're making post-production for a broadcaster. Now, if you think about what the cloud capabilities could give us, it's actually joining all of this ecosystem up, right? So it allows us to make it much easier to be connecting these services up in a sort of logical, frictionless way. Great. All right, so let's now jump into the Microsoft. So, I'll build this one out as well. So what we did as part of our evaluation and the announcement with Microsoft is we worked on a number of different aspects in our products that we wanted to enhance and move to the cloud, right? So to do that, it wasn't just kind of agree a simple, pricing or a partner agreement relationship. It was really a very deep integration of, you know, here's where we see, this is our kind of strategy for the cloud, working with Microsoft. I'm keeping looking at Gerald here, who's sitting at the front. So Gerald Tew was and still is one of the kind of lead architects that we were working with. So we were collaborating really across a wide range of different topics, what we're going to bring to the cloud, how we're going to make it work. But what we could see is that to really optimize what we need to do, go beyond the infrastructure as a service and start really looking at some of the platform as a service capabilities, we need to kind of optimize our integrations, right? To make the collaborating and sort of so deploying systems, using cognitive services, scaling and making our systems more elastic. There's some quite deep integration that we need to do and want to do with Microsoft. So we are going to be doing a couple of things. We're going to be, if you're a customer today with an enterprise agreement, we're able to deploy our systems, certifying our applications to run in Azure, and you'll just be able to use them on your subscription, or on your account, and you just have the Avid subscriptions. If you're, but sort of our longer term strategy is actually to create kind of Avid as a service, right? So we will be running all of that on Azure, and you would just come to Avid, and you'll basically be able to, in a sort of software as a service model, select the tools you want, the pricing model, or the kind of duration of tools that you want to use, and be able to use those. So that's the kind of, I think some of that starting at the end of this year, the as a service model. But, we've already got a number of things that we can stand up today, like our asset management and our newsroom computer systems are running in there today. And Tony's going to show us, you know, some of the things that we've got and some of the things we're working on. All right, let's go. So, so these are the kind of, if you like, the kind of the areas that we are optimizing. I think for sake of time, I won't go through all of those. But basically, it's virtualizing the applications and our media services, and as I've already mentioned, like the cloud-based media storage. Actually, I haven't mentioned that, but I will. Which is being able to use our asset management applications to manage the Azure storage as a tiered storage system. So basically, across tier 2 and tier 3, so cool and cold storage. Managed under our MAM system. Yep. Okay. Let's go to the next one. So, a sort of common deployment pattern that we could see is client having some on-prem storage today, like our Nexus file system and our Nexus product. The MAM system up in Azure using Media Central, which Tony's going to show us shortly. And really being able to use the cloud for the scalability aspects and also adding some robustness around the remote access. So that's kind of a pattern that that we can see a lot of interest in. Cool. So once we had done this initial evaluation and set up our configuration in the Azure portal, we actually went to the next step, number of test drives. So we initially called them POCs, and customers came up with many, many different dimensions they wanted to test, which we decided at the time it made sense to be a bit more specific. But we did still cover a number of use cases, and I think some of our customers are a little bit further ahead in this journey, and so we're expecting VDI technology and virtualization, and it was a much easier conversation because that's the sort of world they're already living in. But some customers, a lot of this was very new. They'd been working on-prem. They hadn't really got their thoughts together about where this was all going. So we had some sort of really good feedback across the spectrum of these different customers. So let's just go quickly to the quotes. So I think overall, we got some, I think people were quite surprised. I mean, I think a bit like your example where you're looking through VDI and you're kind of access, the concepts start to really change the way you think about deploying these systems and where people are. Once you start to remove the need for people physically to be where your equipment is, then productions start to really rethink, wait a minute, maybe we don't actually need to go back to the office to do all the ingest. Maybe we can just kind of upload into the cloud and somehow it just gets there. So I think we're at the stage where people are now really starting to understand they need to kind of rethink some of these workflow approaches. And again, I think for many of our big broadcast customers, this is a big shift, right? They have huge capital invested in these giant, you know, if you look at the sort of broadcast newsroom environment where they were used to bringing everyone in to create a collaborative environment, well, now they really want everyone out in, you know, where news is happening, not in a newsroom. News isn't happening in a newsroom, they're just producing it there. So it's really, what we're finding is it's really a sort of a mind shift. Okay. So what we're going to do is we're going to now spend the next sort of 10 minutes or so. Tony's going to run through a quick tech preview and talk about kind of what we've got and show a quick demo. All right. Do you want this mic?
Perfect. I could drive a keyboard and hold a microphone. Okay. You're challenging me this afternoon. Take that. So, okay, I'm ready. There we go. Before I get into this presentation, I just need to say something. I was standing outside holding my laptop, right, getting ready to walk in here and do this, and I just came to the realization that if it was this time last year, I would have 1,600 pounds of computer equipment with me plugging in, whirring somewhere. Now I just walk up, put my laptop down, and log into these VMs and use them like they are standing right next to me. Yeah. And I just had to say that because I just found that absolutely incredible that my 1,600-pound briefcase has gone away. It's now a website. So this is kind of what I'm working on today here. You'll notice this is my Azure stack actually located here in the building. And these are all the machines that I used to carry around with me now in the cloud. Okay, and I can turn these things on and off depending on how much horsepower I need and do the job that I was assigned to do. I can also expand this and contract this system as needed, again, in the cloud, so virtual. So if I need to expand my production base, I need more editors, I need more loggers, all I have to do is fire up a couple of these machines and send out usernames and passwords, and that's it. So that is just absolutely fantastic. So what I'm going to show you now is once I get out of this PowerPoint, we're going to bring this down. This is my laptop. I'm going to be using, in this case, Google Chrome as one of my interfaces. So all I need is a browser and a login, and it takes me right to this production system. Okay, I don't think I want to sign out. You guys are challenging me here, hang on. So I'm just going to go full screen on this. So what we're looking at now is that Media Central UX interface inside of Google Chrome. Address at the top, so here is my New York Media Central username, password. I have access to the system. Over here in the upper left-hand corner are all my databases. Okay, there's my Interplay MAM. There's my enterprise-wide database right there. You know, here's my production database ready to go. All I have to do is double-click on it. It opens up. I have access to the entire database, whatever they want to give me access to. Find the clips I am working on. Double-click and go. And I could be anywhere in the world doing this right now. So if we are shooting, say, in Atlanta, I'm here in New York and my editors are in LA, the equipment can maintain in one place in the cloud, and I just send out, again, web addresses, usernames, passwords, and everybody can do their job. So here, inside of this browser, I have the ability to play all the footage that's coming in. A few clicks of the keyboard, I can start adding notes like that. So I can go through, and I can do my selects, Control-4, start doing all the triaging there, and actually create an EDL, which I can then pass into an edit bay. Again, anywhere in the world that I want, thanks to this. At the same time, my editors don't, you know, they don't have to be near the equipment as well. They just have to run this little guy right here. It's a little client application that they can use to dial in and connect to a virtual media composer. And I'm just gonna go full screen with that to show you that this is not Media Composer running on my laptop, okay? This is just a little video over IP client that is talking to a virtual Media Composer that is up in the cloud right now, okay? But it has the look and feel of me being inside of the edit bay right now, okay? So I can set these up and then just deploy editors anywhere in the world. So while I'm over here adding metadata to it, the guys in the edit bay can actually see that metadata. So there are the tags that I've been making in that other application. Whoever's assigned to the edit bay here can see that metadata almost instantly. And again, full editing capabilities inside of a virtual Media Composer cloud system right there. At the same time, we've got working on a timeline right here, working on a program called First Pass Edit. And while I am working on this, again, I'm in a virtual environment. So we're just going to exit full screen, and we're going to minimize the edit bay right now, and we're going to go back in to the producer's box. While he's editing, I could be in this application watching what he's doing. This file that we're looking at here is the same one that's on the Media Composer timeline. Okay, so while they're editing, I can be over here making comments. Like that. Okay. So the production process, simple, centralized, and my clients can be anywhere in the world right now doing this. So if we go take a quick peek back in the edit bay, so I'm just going to expand the client, I'm just going to go full screen with it. Do a little update. And then markers windows, those comments will pop back in there, and they can literally have a two-way communication on this video production in the cloud on virtual machines. Like that. So, there it is right there. Along with, sorry, I'm just checking my time here. I've got about 5 minutes left. Along with those two pieces of technology, we have a new one right here called Media Central Cloud UX. We'll start right here. So this is kind of the future where we're going with things right here, a little different redesigned interface, a little more laid out to be kind of tablet friendly and metadata friendly. You can kind of see here, you've got your traditional breadcrumb style trails to where I can navigate through folders. If I knew where everything was located, find a piece of video, double click on it, play it out. You can see that I double clicked on the icon itself. So if I do that, I can actually play inside of the icon now. So if I'm just browsing through the database looking for video clips, real easy for me to just come in here, scrub with my mouse, I want to play it, single click, I'll actually play the video. If it's the one I want, double click on it, loads it up like that. So completely, you know, redesigned, kind of streamed line for going in, triaging video, and you know, finding what you're looking for pretty fast. On top of that, all my tools are going to be listed across the top here as far as what you can do. Searching right here, come up there, type in a keyword, click search, and then we'll just close that and we will try it again. So you can see here, I've typed in the word Avid, and it gave me a hit of all of the hits of Avid. This is not only metadata, but actually phonetic searching as well. So not only are we searching the metadata for keywords called Avid, we are actually phonetically searching the audio streams in there for something that sounds like the word Avid. Right? So if I double click on this, I get a results list right here. That's telling me at that time code, well, I'm 97% sure that he said the word Avid at that location. Okay, this is fantastic, especially if you're in the news house and you're like, where did that interview happen? You know, you can just type in a key phrase, have it search your entire video library for those keywords if nobody happened to tag it with metadata. Okay, you can even continue here. You know, I'll just add a few more keywords there, and you can see each time a keyword comes up, it gets assigned a different color. That way, when I'm going through the metadata trail here, all the different colors here I can associate back to those key terms so I can find exactly what I'm looking for very fast. right here is a little histogram of those keywords. So if I'm looking for a spot to where the guy said Avid Media Composer, I probably want to start looking to where all these three dots line up. And then I'll find the sentence that I'm looking for inside of this video. Okay? So it's just fantastic here. And one other quick thing I want to get at before they kick me out, it looks like my time is up, is also the logging on here. So with that metadata, we can come in here and we can actually log different kinds of metadata. Get a piece of video in there. There we go. Simply by clicking a log, choosing a few predefined buttons, and creating that log. Okay? But we can also have different pages of metadata. So these are different forms that give you different layers. So if one of them was a music layout sheet, other one was an interview, other one was rights management, you can have these different layers of metadata come across as different sheets, and you'll be able to sort and filter out through them pretty easily. Okay? And I think I'm out of time.
Unfortunately, but thank you, Tony.
I went as fast as I could.
No worries at all. That was awesome. Be sure to stop.